The following message is presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information, go to the website www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Now the message.
2 Peter, the first chapter. Peter writes there as a bondservant and apostle of the Lord Jesus. He said, to those who have received the faith of the same kind as ours by the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. And then he says this, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. For by these he has granted to us his precious, magnificent promises, so that by them we may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you this morning for your goodness to us. And we acknowledge to you today that you're in control of circumstances and life, that you have never been surprised about anything that's happened, that all the resources in the world belong to you. And we thank you. We thank you for the God you are, for all you've done for us, for meeting our needs, for what you're going to do for us and meeting our needs in the future. Father, we ask that as we approach Thanksgiving season in these next 2 weeks, and as we think about what you have done for us and are doing for us and will do for us, we just ask that you would overwhelm our hearts with gratitude and praise. We pray that this morning, that we will sense your presence and your and be aware of that presence in such a way that we'd be overwhelmed by your goodness and your grace. And out of that, you would be drawn to you, to be obedient to you, to trust you, to make the decisions that you want us to make. One here without you, a Savior today, we pray that they'll be saved. Open their hearts to receive you. Father, we pray that you will draw us as Christians to the place of surrender to your Lordship, and we truly will have your peace. And it is in Jesus' name that we ask it. After D.L. Moody died, by his Bible study conference center in Northville came under the leadership of G. Campbell Morgan. And in 1904, J. Campbell Morgan was leading a Bible study at that Bible conference, and his three-year-old son, Howard, became very ill. And he was not expected to survive. His family was attending his bedside. The conference goers were earnestly praying for his recovery. And one day, little Howard turned towards his mother and said, Mother, I want you to sing a hymn, one of the hymns that he had heard at the conference center when he had gone to hear his dad preach and lead that center. He said, I want you to sing a hymn. I want you to sing that hymn about sweet peas. And his mother couldn't figure out what he was talking about. Sweet peas. And he said, you know, sweet peas, gift of God's love. And his mother immediately realized that he was talking about that old, wonderful, beautiful hymn, sweet peace, the gift of God's love. So this morning I'm going to talk to you about some sweet peas. Things that we ought to be thankful for and brings into our lives. One writer said, we can indeed count our blessings for how good God has been to us and give thanks to him for what he has done for us. You know, and so many of them we can kind of make start with the letter P. Now, Peter is writing here to Christian brothers and sisters, and he said basically he's glad because they had found the same kind of faith that he had. It was a faith in Jesus Christ. But what he says to them is that grace and peace have been multiplied to you in the knowledge of Jesus, seeing that by his divine power he has given us, and notice the great promise that says here, he has granted to us everything. Not some things, not a few things, but everything pertaining to life and to godliness through the true knowledge of him who has called us by his glory and excellence. He has granted to us his precious, magnificent promises by which we share in his divine nature. Now, Now, folks, I'm telling you, that's a pretty startling statement. To think about what God is talking about. If you want to know what life is about, you want to understand life, you want to know what it really means to live, the only way to do that is to have a relationship with Jesus Christ and to come to that place that you received Him as Savior and Lord, you trusted Him as Savior and Lord, and you come to know Him because He has granted to us then everything that pertains to life and to godliness. You want to know how to live? Then look to Jesus. You want to know what you're supposed to do? You look to Jesus. You want to know, you know, how to be godly? Then you look to Jesus and be obedient to Him, because we can grow in knowledge of Him. We grow up into our relationship with Him until we become like Him and share ultimately in the divine nature in which He's given us through the presence of His Holy Spirit in our lives. He has given us everything. Granted to us precious promises. Now, what are some of those promises? So I'll start this morning with that list of P's. And you've got a little outline in your bulletin if you kind of want to follow it. Not a lot of detail, but it does give you some of my main points. The first one is pardon. We ought to be thankful today for the pardon in which God has given to us. And Isaiah 55:7 said, "Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord, and He will have compassion upon him, to his God, for He will abundantly pardon." So there's not any of us who can escape the fact that we're sinners, that we've all sinned, we've all rebelled against God. Every one of us is made not only by our nature that we inherited from Adam and his first rebelled against God, but by our choice we are all sinners. Not a one of us in this place can ever come to the place to say, "I've lived a perfect life and I've not sinned and I've not rebelled against God." Folks, I'm telling you, sin separates you away from God. Sin is the big problem we have to deal with in this life. Sin is the thing that keeps us from being everything we ought to be and living for God and being godly and living for God in this world and knowing what the real essence of life is all about. It's sin that stands in the way. It blocks us in our relationship with the Lord. And that literally is an understanding of sin and how Christ dealt with that sin is what separates a Christian faith from every other religion in the world. You know, I think as some of you are, I am certainly disturbed by some of the things that I see happening in our world where we're honoring other religions above our own, you know, and Franklin Graham made it pretty clear this week when he said there's only one true God, you know, when the Muslims were wanting to meet in the Episcopal Church there, the National Monument, that had been there over 100 years, and you know, he was really upset, and some Christian woman had guts enough to walk into that crowd of Muslims and stand there and say this was absurd to be able to see Muslims praying in the middle of what was should be dedicated to a holy and true God. You know, I'm disturbed by what I see happening in our world today. Now, people have a right to believe everything they want to believe, anything they want to believe, but they don't have a right to come in and force us to believe what they believe, you know. Now, I've kind of got off on a tangent, but understand here just a little bit. We're fighting a spiritual battle. And this battle is between the Satan and God, and we're supposed to be involved as God's people on His side. And when we can duck our heads in the sand and not paying attention to what is happening and allow some of these things to take place without taking our stand and without doing what's the right thing, then we're going to pay a great price and consequences for that in a nation that begins to turn away from God. And I tell you, Allah is a demon. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. The scripture says, and you know, the Bible says that any of these people which ate anything that was offered to idols were actually eating them and was offering those sacrifices to demons. They were not gods. They were false gods. There's one true God in this world, and that is Jesus Christ and Him alone. And Jesus said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and there is no man who comes to the Father except by Me." Now, folks, that's bottom line. But when we come to Jesus Christ, that's a great difference that separates us from all the other religions in the world. They're trying to reach up to God. They're trying to do it through good works. They're trying to do it through the means in which man has conceived to be able to get to God. Christianity is that God realized we had sinned and we had rebelled against Him. We were separated away from Him and we couldn't know God. The Bible says we were dead to God. And Jesus Christ came into the world, reached down to us, forgave us of our sin, and gave us a pardon set us totally and absolutely and irreversibly free from the consequences of sin. And folks, I'm telling you, if there was nothing else that we could be thankful for, that ought to be enough to overwhelm our hearts to know that we not only are going to make it to heaven and miss hell, but that our sins have been forgiven and we've been cleansed and we've been pardoned. And that's reason enough for us to want to live for God and to do what God wants us to do. We can thank God for the sweet pea of pardon. But then, not only is there a pardon, but there's a purpose, His purpose. In Isaiah 14:27, for the Lord of hosts has purposed, and who shall disannul it? Our New American Standard says, the Lord of hosts has planned, and who shall frustrate it? For the hand of the Lord is stretched out, and who shall turn it back? There are so many people in our world who are living purposeless lives. We look to the psychics and to the philosophers of this world and to, and life is still so empty, so meaningless. We turn to alcohol and drugs and entertainment, sex, all whatever way we think we can find some kind of pleasure or satisfaction, and we're looking for something to fill the emptiness and the void within our life. But as the people of God, we who know Jesus Christ as our Savior and Lord, we don't have to live like the rest of the world. There's a sense of purpose that comes into our lives. When God pardons us of our sin and sets us free and makes us a part of His nature, then we have the ability then to know God, to belong to God, to live life at its fullest, and our life can take on direction and meaning. God gives us a purpose for being here, a reason for our lives. I can remember when I thank God. God called me to preach at an early age, actually real early. It took me until my 19th year to be able to really say yes to Him, even though I'd run from Him through those teenage years. But once I said yes to God, folks, it was everything else got put aside. I'd been studying to be a mechanical engineer because I was trying to escape from what God really wanted me to do. And I was just having difficulties and all kind of problems. And I was in college. And when I first went to college, I went to Louisiana Tech. And I looked around at the people and everybody I saw, they didn't know what they were going to do. Their life was just aimless and without direction. But I'll tell you what happened. During semester break, when I had talked to my wife and told her that what God was doing, and I left, we went home for the weekend. We always went home to church. And I left and went out into the backyard, laid down under a pine tree. And I finally said, God, whatever it is You want me to do in my life, I'm going to surrender to You, and I'm going to do it. I'll tell you something, I got up from that place that day with a new sense of direction and a peace that God had a purpose for my life. I didn't have to struggle anymore. I didn't have to wonder what I was going to do. Now, I'm not telling you there was no problems and whatever. My life is filled with problems, okay? And I don't understand some of it, and I cry out like some of you, why, of all this stuff taking place and happening and all of those kind of things, weep tears over the disappointments of kids and other things that goes on within life. But I'm telling you something, I've never had a question from that moment on when God said, I've given you a purpose. You're going to live for Me in this world. Now, we've struggled over individual decisions and directions that we ought to go and places that we ought to be. But, folks, I've never doubted the fact that God gave us a mission and that when He pardoned me and saved me and I surrendered my life to Him, He gave me a purpose in life. And I'm telling you something, if you're just going through life purpose, I don't know why I'm here and I don't know what I'm doing and I don't know what life is all about, I'm just kind of getting by day and existing, I'm telling you there's something better than that. It's a surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. He can give your life hope and He can give your life direction, and He can set you into His purposes. Now, we had preached on the series of God's purposes in our life. Part of our purpose is to worship God. Part of it is to fellowship with each other and to share that fellowship together and to be a part of a family of believers together. They strengthen us and encourage us. It is discipleship, growing up in our relationship with Christ and becoming like Him. It is a ministry and serving others with our lives. But it is a mission primarily, God, and overshadowing everything else. Jesus said, go into the world and to make disciples and baptize them and then teach them all the things which I've taught you. Folks, there is a direction God's given us as a church to take. And underlying bottom line beyond all of that is that His purpose for us is to reach people for Jesus Christ. And that ought to be the guide that guides in every decision that we make, in every program we have, and in everything that takes place. And over the next few weeks and months, as we struggle to know what we're supposed to do as a church in the midst of the crisis of our building burning, folks, I'm telling you, the one thing that has to guide us is how can we live and act and what decisions can we make that will help us reach the place to reach more people for Jesus Christ. That's the mission God's given us. It is a purpose He has put here, this church. It's been here over 100 years. It said, your purpose is to be the lighthouse that shines in this community and to reach people for Jesus Christ. He has pardoned us of our sin, and He has given us a purpose and a direction for our personal lives and for our family life as a church. And then He's given us a guide. He's given us His precepts. That is the Word of God. Isaiah 48 said, the grass withers, the flowers fade, but the Word of God stands forever. Without God's Word, we'd have no direction for life. He's given us a purpose, and then you say, well, I need some instructions. So He's given us instructions. And most of the things we really struggle about and we need to know about spiritually, we're going to find clear answers from the Word of God. And as we study God's Word, and then as we pray, there will be the affirmation of the Holy Spirit's leadership that will touch our lives and bring us to that place. But without God's Word, we're like sheep that are lost in the desert without water or pasture. We're like hungry children without food. We're like pilgrims without a map. We have all kind of questions with no answers, folks. But His Word is always right. And we can thank God for His infallible Word. Not an error, not a mistake. Always right, always right. God's Word trumps everything else. It trumps our feelings, our emotions, our logic, our reason. You know, all of those things, it is all completely trumped by the Word of God. What is God telling us to do? Are there things in His Word that we understand clearly that God said, this is my will for you, and you're supposed to be obedient? Folks, that trumps everything else in the world. It is His Word. God has given us His Word, and we need to stand upon the infallible Word of God. He's pardoned us. He's given us purpose. He's given us Word as precepts to guide us along the way. And then we can thank Him for His providence. In Isaiah 46, 9 and 10, it says, remember the former things long past, for I am God, and there is no other. And I am God, and there's no one like me. Declaring the end from the beginning, from the ancient times, things which have not been done, saying, my purpose will be established, and I will accomplish all my good pleasure. God watches over our world. He watches over us as His children. And He works all things to accomplish His will in this world. There's no real accidents with God. There's no real surprises with God. He is moving this world towards its destiny. And one day it's going to be fulfilled in and through Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 1 talks about that there is a dispensation of this age, that one day all things are going to be summed up together in Jesus Christ. But over the process of that, God's providential will is operating, and He is aware of everything that happens. Now, you're saying, preacher, we still got questions about why and all of those things as to what God's doing. Let me tell you something. We can see things only from the immediate present. God sees things from the beginning to the end. He knows what's happening and what's going on. And in His providential will, He allows certain things to take place that we don't understand. We may never understand. Even when we get to heaven, we may not care about understanding. We struggle with them now, But folks, I'm telling you what we can do. God is in control of this world. He's still a sovereign God. He is Lord. And we can trust Him. Whatever is happening, whatever is going on, whatever is taking place, we can trust God. Because He hasn't forsaken His world. He's still watching over us and taking care of it. So we can thank God for the pardon, for His purpose, for His word, His precepts. We can thank God for His providence, and He knows what's happening and going on in our lives. And then we can thank God for His provision. And Isaiah 33:16 said He will dwell on the heights, and His refuge will be in the impregnable rock. And His bread will be given to Him, and His water will be sure. Paul wrote to the Philippian church after receiving that gift. He said, I'm in jail. I can't repay you. I don't know what I'm going to do, but I'm sure of this. But, you know, my God's going to meet all your needs according to His riches and glory. You know, in Psalm 46:1, it says, God is our refuge and our strength and a very present help in the time of trouble. You know, I think about the people of Israel. I start thinking about the provision that God provides for us. I think about the children of Israel wandering in the wilderness. Eddie said he preached about the manna last Sunday night when I was gone. And I'm telling you, God gave them food every day of their life during those years of wandering around. And that didn't stop until He provided for them in the land in which He was going to give them. And then, you know, the miracle stopped. Not only did He give them food, but their shoes didn't wear out, their clothes didn't wear out, and He took care of them and He provided for their needs. Now, folks, I admit that I've struggled a little bit wondering how we're going to come up with all the money we're going to need to do what we have to do as a church that we are. But I'm telling you, then God convicts me and says, look, I own the cattle on 1,000 hills. Everything in this world's mine, and I'm going to meet your need because I didn't put you here for, you know, without a reason. You have a purpose. You have a reason for being here. And in order to fulfill my purpose, you can be sure that in my providence, I'm going to make sure that you have the provisions to do what you have to do. And I'll tell you so, folks, we can trust Him. Now, God may use us to do the providing. I mean, that is, He convicts us about our pocketbook. He, you know, a lot of us are going to have to learn to give sacrificially, probably. But He's going to meet our need because He is a God who has promised. John Ironside died when he was at the age of 27. His wife, Sophie, and had two small boys. He left them with no income. One of the boys later became Harry Ironside, which was later become a famous Bible teacher and pastor of Moody Memorial Church. But on one occasion when the boys were little after her husband had died, Sophie had gathered her boys at the table for breakfast, but their plates were empty. They had only water to drink, and she bowed her head, and she prayed a prayer based on Isaiah 33:16, which is, His bread will be given to him, and His water will be sure. And she said, Lord, we have the water, and for that we thank you. But now we trust you for the bread, or for that which will take its place. And just as she finished the prayer, the doorbell rang, and she opened it to find a man standing there. And he said, Miss Ironside, said, we've owed you for months for a dress you made for my wife, and we have no money to pay it. But we just now harvest our potatoes and wondered if you would accept a bushel or two on the account of that old bill. In a few minutes, the potatoes were sizzling in the frying pan and the boys had answered prayer for breakfast. Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount talks about that He, birds of the air, don't worry. The flowers of the field are filled more beautiful than everything else in the world. And that we worry about what we're going to eat, what we're going to drink, where we're going to live, where we're going to be sheltered. And Jesus said, quit worrying about all these things. He said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all of these things will be added unto you. Folks, we can thank God for His provision. And then in the process of all that goes on in this life, we can thank God for His presence. And Isaiah 41:10 says, do not fear, for I'm with you. Do not be anxious, but look about, for I am your God. I will strengthen you, and surely I will help you. Surely I will uphold you with my righteous hand. Matthew 28:20. In the Great Commission, Jesus is telling us to go into the world and make disciples. And then He says the very last phrase, and lo, I'm with you even unto the end of the world, or the end of the age. God is going to be with us. I'm with you always. One of the sweetest promises of Scripture is the assurance of the presence of God. He never leaves us. He said, I will never forsake you. One of the hymn writers wrote, how firm a foundation. He put it well. He said, fear not, I am with thee. Oh, be not dismayed. For I am thy God, and I will give thee aid. I will help thee and cause thee to stand and uphold you with my gracious hand. Folks, we can thank God for his presence. Then we can thank God for his peace. In Isaiah 26, 3 and 4 says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusts in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for the Lord Jehovah, the Lord Almighty, the Lord Yahweh, the Lord who is an that's the word that's there. The literal name of God is in the Hebrew text there. It is the Lord Yahweh, the Lord Jehovah, the Lord that is. He said, I am that I am, the God who is a God of the past, a God of the present, a God of the future, the God who is always there, who's always existing. That God has not forsaken us. And, you know, he is a God of everlasting strength. Said he will give you perfect peace when your mind is stayed upon him. The word here, peace, is the Hebrew word shalom, shalom. It is a deep peace that Isaiah describes later as a river of peace. A river of peace that flows and continually fills us up. In Philippians 4, 6 and 7 said, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, it can't be explained or understood, but the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. It will set up guards outside of your heart and your mind. And as little Howard Ironside said, Lord, sing that song about sweet peace. So there comes to my heart one sweet strain, a glad and glorious refrain. I will sing it again and again. Sweet peace, the gift of God's love. Folks, we can thank him for the pardon, for the purpose, for his word, his precepts, for his providence, for his provision, for his presence, for his peace. Peace which passes all understanding. I ask you today, do you have peace with God? Do you really have peace with God? Do you have absolute assurance that today, if you died and you stood before the gates of heaven, that you would enter those gates, no questions, no doubt, that you have a relationship with Jesus Christ? That's where peace comes from. That's the peace with God, where our sins has been dealt with. The alienation, the separation that has come because of our sin has been removed. Do we really have peace with God? Has the alienation been removed and we have been restored and reconciled unto God? Do you have the assurance of the peace with God? Because if not today, you need to trust him. It doesn't matter if you've been a member of the church all your life. It doesn't matter if you pray every day, read your Bible every day. What about the doubts, the peace, the struggle that you go through? Do you really know God through your relationship with Jesus Christ? Peace with God. If you don't know him, you need to trust him today. And then you can walk out of this building today truly with a grateful heart for the salvation God has given you. And then I ask you, those who have peace with God and you're confident of your salvation, do you have the peace of God? You're struggling with problems in life and all the things that are going on, and you're struggling with all of those things. I'm telling you, there's a peace of God that comes into the hearts and to the lives of the children of God when we trust him. That peace of God comes when we surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ and we obey him in all things in which he's commanded us. We surrender our lives to him and we trust him. And that trumps everything else in all of our lives. Do you have the peace of God because you know you're obedient to him? If not, you need to come today and surrender. and say, Jesus, I'm going to obey you. I'm going to do what you want me to do. Father, we thank you today for the opportunity we be here and for what this day represents. And we pray that that tonight, as we have made an attempt to reach out to our community and to share a Thanksgiving meal, it would be a great time of fellowship for our church and fellowship for our community and those that will come. But also, Father, we pray that it would be a testimony to your goodness, and that you would use it to attract people into your kingdom and to what your purpose. Give us boldness to seize the opportunity and the moment to be able to share you. And we pray that people will be saved as a result. Lives will be restored to service for you because of it. And most of all, Father, we're thankful today for your presence in this place, which draws us to yourself and speaks to our heart. And for all that you've done for us through your Son, Jesus Christ, and the pardon and the peace you give us. And it is in his name that we ask it. We're going to stand together and sing number 294, Have Thine Own Way. But if God has spoken to your heart and you know that there is indeed a decision that you need to make today, it did not come, listen to me, it did not come because I stood here and shared some truth out of the Word of God. If you feel there's a decision you need to make, that is a decision that God, through His presence in this place, has spoken to you about, and you need to be obedient to what God is telling you. That is the only thing that's going to bring the peace of God into your heart and into your life. So as we sing, will you come and will you truly say to God, yes, you can have your own way in my life.
The preceding message was presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information about a relationship with Jesus Christ or about the church, including contact information, please go to our website, www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.